Praise God. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, please. I want to read just a few verses there. In fact, for the sake of time, we'll just go straight to verse 28, 29 and 30 of Matthew 11. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he speaks to all of us. He speaks to us this morning. Perhaps through these very words he can speak to us. And he says, "Come to me." It's an incredibly profound opening statement of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And I don't know the needs of every heart here this morning. And sometimes we don't know our own needs, but we know that God knows our needs and he loves us and he cares for us. And we have an invitation here again to come to him. Come to him. He's a wonderful person. And I know that most of us have come to discover that. Hallelujah. So wonderful that we don't come to a whole list of rules and regulations and requirements this morning, but we come to the living Christ. Is that wonderful? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to speak a little bit this morning about rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. How many of us have spent so much time being weary, laden and burdened? Many, many of us have been, haven't we? If we're honest. And we live in a world that is crushed and broken. So many people burdened with things that they cannot carry. And Jesus says that he gives us rest. Hallelujah. I will give you rest. Some people think that the heavy laden things are things that we load upon ourselves, and some people think that the laboring rather is the things that we put upon ourselves, and the heavy laden things are things that are put on us by others or other things or whatever the source is not the issue. The fact is that we can come this morning, we can come as we are. We can come at the invitation of Jesus, whatever our burden, and find that he gives us rest. We can find a place where we can put our burden down, or where he'll take our burden away. Hallelujah. And I believe as you look at this particular chapter here, the context of chapter 11, I think a lot of the burden that Jesus is referring to is the burden of people trying to find their own way through to God. A way of legalism, if you like, of laws, of rituals, of things that have to be done. Pressures that people put upon themselves to improve themselves. All these kinds of burdens of shame and guilt. And Jesus just says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Rest is a wonderful thing, isn't it? To be at rest, to be on the inside, fundamentally at peace, is a very, very precious thing. To know that things are okay. Whether the storms may rage, and things may threaten us, and things may challenge the things that we say we believe, though that may happen, Jesus can give us rest. He can bring us to a place where we can know that all is well. Because all ultimately is in him. Hallelujah. Rest. You know, God has written into the whole universe and the whole of humanity rhythms of rest. It's a very wonderful thing. We won't this morning take time to look at the scriptures, but you could turn to scriptures in Exodus, for example, Deuteronomy, Numbers, where the Lord reveals, particularly through the Ten Commandments, that He has regulated human behavior by putting in rhythms of life so that every 7 days the Sabbath was a Sabbath of rest. Which didn't necessarily mean that they did nothing at all, but it did mean that they did things that were totally different from all that they had done in the week so that they could rest. And every seventh year, the land had to rest. They had a fallow land for a year, every 7 years. And we also know that every 49 years, that's 7 times 7, they had a year of Jubilee, where everything was set right again, all the captives were released, all the debts were paid, everybody was equalized in their relationships together. And the whole of that nation discovered the liberty of the rest of God. And those rhythms have been placed in our society, in our hearts, in our lives, by the Lord Himself. That's very wonderful, isn't it? I don't know whether you find that you're able to put those kinds of rhythms in place in your life, but they're very important that we do that, that we don't just get on a treadmill of life where things get kind of carried along and we're in something that is bigger than we can stop. I guess we recognize that we're feeling we're running faster and faster and faster to stand still. You remember that expression? You remember what that feels like? And the Lord wants us to be at rest. He wants us to enjoy Himself and to live in communion with Him. Of course, it goes right back to the very beginning, and I do want you just to look at these verses in the beginning of Genesis. So let's read from verse 31 of chapter 1 of Genesis. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There's another rhythm, incidentally. Evening and morning. Thus the heavens and the earth, we're reading in chapter 2, verse 1, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. That's very wonderful, isn't it? Creator of all things, the creator of our world, of our universe with its animals and its teeming life. He saw it all, and the pinnacle of His creation, of course, was the creation of man and woman. Mankind, humankind. And God saw that it was not just good as so much of it had been, but that it was very good. And then the scripture says that having finished His work, He entered into His rest. He had a day of rest. Not because He was tired, but because He wanted to enjoy and appreciate and harmonize and enter into and join with the creation that He had made, that it could be celebrated together, that God could be God, worshipped and loved, and His people blessed, Adam and Eve, And all of creation dwelt together in harmony with the living God. What a wonderful thing that is. God rested from all that He had made. He blessed it. He sanctified the seventh day because He rested from all His work which God had created and made. So right back in the very beginning of the original creation, God finished His work and His people entered into rest. Now in the beginning of our great new age, our new covenant age, the same principle holds true. You remember that the Lord Jesus came, and you remember that in the last moments of His life on earth, as He prayed that great, what is often called the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 17, He prayed there and He said to His Father, I have finished the work that You have given Me to do. Isn't that a marvelous thing? But Jesus did many, many things when He came on the earth, and He healed the sick and He delivered those who were demon-possessed, and the oppressed He released, and the poor He ministered to. But ultimately, He came to do one thing. And that was that He was to come and go to the cross to deal with the whole problem of sin, to break the power of the enemy, and to share that great liberty and freedom with all who would believe Him. Wonderful, I think, that Mercy Tree song. I love it. I found myself singing it when I woke up in the night the other night. Couldn't kind of locate where the verses came from a little bit, and then I realized it was the Mercy Tree song. The cross is the real Mercy Tree provided by God, where He finished the work that He came to do. He came, didn't He, specifically and purposefully to die and to offer up His life as a sacrifice for all. Glory to His wonderful name. And you remember that when the darkness closed in on Him there on Calvary, there came that great cry, finished! Finished! Means that everything has been done, the debt has been paid. The sacrifice for sin has been made. The work has been completed. Finished. And all of us now, as a result of that finished work, can enter into the rest of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I, by the grace of God, finding ourselves here this morning, can enter into that rest because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Back into Matthew chapter 11. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Of course, the yoke was a great wooden shaped, like a undulating kind of shape, wasn't it, that lay across two oxen. Interesting, we've been hearing about the oxen. I guess they had yokes laid upon them when they went and pulled their ploughs. I imagine they would have done that. They worked in pairs, didn't they? And the oxen would put their head in the hole of the yoke. And here the incredible invitation is that we are invited to take the yoke of Jesus upon ourselves. If you like, we're to pair up with Him. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That we can walk in harmony with and alongside and under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Because that's what the yoke was. It was an expression of ownership. It was an expression of submission, that the oxen had to submit to that yoke that was laid upon him. And very often the young oxen would learn alongside the older, experienced oxen in the yoke. And there they are together, ploughing and walking through the fields or whatever it is they're doing. And here we are invited by the Lord Jesus to take His yoke upon ourselves. That is, we are to submit to His authority. We are to walk with Him, alongside Him, in fellowship with Him, being obedient to Him, and discovering that we can learn from Him. Learn how to live restfully. Learn how to live in the purposes of God. Learn how to live in communion and fellowship with Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. There's a story told, you know, of a man who was carrying upon his back a little boy. He saw this little boy rather carrying a still smaller boy upon his back, and this smaller boy was lame. And the man said to him, "That's a really heavy burden for you to carry," said the man. He said, "That's not a burden," came the answer, "That's my wee brother." The burden, the responsibility, the submission to the yoke, is all an expression of love. That's what it is. And burdens become light when they're motivated by love. Hallelujah. Praise God. My yoke, says Jesus, is easy. And my burden is light. It's not onerous. It doesn't wear us out. It doesn't discourage us. It doesn't hold us down. It releases us. Bless the name of the Lord to find that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So we're invited to come to Him and to find rest for our souls. I want you to turn back into the Old Testament again and back into the book of Genesis. In my daily readings, I've just restarted reading through from the beginning. So I've just come through into the life of Abraham. But before I started reading, and before recorded here, the life of Abraham is the life of another wonderful man. And his name was Noah. Noah's a great encouragement, I believe, to us, because Noah lived in desperate days. Terrible days. Far worse, it would seem, than the days that we live in. Although our days are darkening and worsening, we understand that. But Noah lived in desperately wicked days. And yet, as he lived his life in that context, it's recorded of him that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a man of integrity, a man of uprightness, a man of righteousness, a man who clearly ordered, like Abraham, his family rightly. He was a man marked out. We heard about that. Was that last Sunday, about the mark of God upon us? It was last Sunday from Brian. He was a marked man. And yet, you know, his name means rest. He was fundamentally a man of rest. But in spite of all that was going on around him, in his own heart and in his own walk and in his own relationship with Christ, or with God rather, he was at rest. And you know that he was required to make an ark. He had to build an ark. And the whole purpose of him building the ark was so that the people, because an invitation was made, that they could come into the ark and be safe. They could come and avoid the coming judgment that was coming upon the world. They could come into the ark. And the ark is a wonderful picture of Christ. And we're not just, as I've talked about from Matthew chapter 11, we're not just invited to come to Christ. The amazing illustration of this particular story of Noah is that we're invited to come into Christ. We actually are invited to come in and to share in His inner life. We're invited to come into that inner place of communion and fellowship, that place that is so protected from every other influence that is around. Let me just show you one or two of the verses in chapter 7. Verse 1, it says, the Lord says to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I've seen that you're righteous before me in this generation. And then down in verse 13, on that very same day, Noah and Noah's sons and Noah's wife entered into the ark. And verse 23, so God destroyed all the living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Amazing deliverance, wasn't it? Amazing deliverance. But they were invited into the ark. They entered into the ark. God actually shut them in. Didn't read that verse, but he actually shut them in. And there they remained. While everything else was chaotic outside, and while the judgment of God came upon the earth, all who were with Noah in rest in the ark were safe. It's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture of the union that we have in Christ. Not just that we can come to him and know the release from our burden, from our shame, from our guilt, that we can stand, as it were, justified in his presence because of the work that he has done, the finished work that we can enter into by faith. Not just that we can have our sins forgiven, that we can be made right in our standing before him, but actually we're invited into the living Christ. We're invited in to know that inward communion, an intimacy of relationship with the Christ of God. Hallelujah. That is so, so wonderful. I want to turn to one particular verse in chapter 8 of Genesis about this story, because it was something the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And I want to just share it with you. Just a few days ago, and I was in prayer thinking about a situation, and then I turned to my daily reading, and this was it. This is Genesis 8, verse 9. And I have to give you a little background, that this is when the rains have stopped, and the water has begun to subside from the earth, and the flood is over, and a new creation is going to emerge after that. So the water is seeping away, and what Noah does is he sends out a raven to see whether there's any vegetation that's appearing. And then he sent out a dove. And he sent out the dove twice. And this is this particular verse that we're looking into. This is the first occasion that he sent out the dove. Verse 9 of chapter 8. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Leave it there just for a moment. So here we are, the dove. The dove has been sent out from the ark, seeking a place of rest, looking for somewhere where she can make a nest, looking for somewhere where she can live in the new creation. This is the picture. Don't know whether you're looking for that kind of resting place this morning. Maybe it's in a general sense, in the way that we've talked about, that somehow maybe you've never come to a place where you've really let Jesus deal with everything inside and bring you to real rest. Or maybe it's circumstantial. Maybe it's something you're seeking in the will of God for your life. Maybe it's just you're seeking something for the way forward, a place that you can rest in, that somehow this is God's provision for you. Listen to what Noah did, right at the end of that little verse 9. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Is that sweet? So wherever you are, whatever resting place you're looking to find this morning, whether it's a geographical location, whether it's a specific step of faith, whether it's a resting place from some particular concern that you might have in your heart, you're looking for that resting place. Jesus puts out His hand to you and He can take you this morning and He can draw you into the ark to Himself. Hallelujah. When I read that, I said, Lord, that's just wonderful. That was my prayer as I thought about the situation that was in my heart. Just turn over into the book of Hebrews and to chapter 6 just for a moment. And there's one other scripture I want to turn to. Sorry, it's not chapter 6, it's chapter 4. You know that the nation of Israel never found rest. Not completely. They certainly didn't know any rest in the wilderness, did they? They were constantly fighting battles. And then when they got into the promised land under Joshua, they began to walk out through the land and they began to put their foot down on various places. And I think we heard prophetically, I was in and out a little bit this morning, but I think I heard prophetically about the need that we have to put our foot down on the necks of our enemies, something like that. That's what happened in Joshua's day, wasn't it? As he conquered, as they moved out, right out and began to fan out through the land, that they began to put their foot down on the necks of their enemies. But even then, they never had full rest. There's still much land to be possessed, was one of the statements that was made concerning Joshua as he went through. And then, of course, you can read right on, even through people like David, when David was king and he brought together the kingdoms and they had peace there. And in Solomon's time following David, there was long periods of quietness, but there was never total rest right through. And that's because all of those pictures are really that. They're pictures. They're historical facts and historical events, but they're pictures. And so when you come into the book of Hebrews, he talks about a rest remaining for the people of God. And that's you and I. That there is a rest. A promise remains in verse 1 of chapter 4. A promise remains of entering His rest. And the writer to the Hebrews says, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place, as of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, for today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore there remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, that is Christ's rest, that is God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Hallelujah. That's a long section to read perhaps, but it's a wonderful thing that a rest remains for those who will believe into the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we can do that this morning. If we've never done it before, we can do it. But if we've done it lots of times before, we can do it. Hallelujah, we need to consciously draw in, don't we? And enter in. And know that amazing rest that is available to us by faith through obedience. That's why it never happened fully in the past, because of disobedience. But ours is the opportunity by grace to be obedient to the exhortation of God, and by faith to enter into His finished work. One final verse I want you to turn to in chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel. I talked a little bit this morning, very briefly, about the rhythms of life in our world that God has instigated and placed in order, which we do well to follow. Mark 6:34 says this, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' But he answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat,'" and I've got completely the wrong scripture. It's further up. We started in the wrong place. Verse 30. Sorry. "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they'd done and what they taught." And here it is. "He said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Walking with Jesus must have been incredible. Don't you think so? Absolutely incredible. I don't know whether you ever think and ponder what it must have been like, or who he was. Do you ever sit down and meditate about him as a person? About the mystery of his character and of his being? The mystery of this God incarnate, this God man, and yet this man God. It's an amazing thing. It's the greatest mystery in the universe. And Jesus was ministering to all these people. Hundreds and hundreds of people. People kept coming and coming. And he grew tired. You know, Jesus didn't do everything as the Son of God. Don't know whether you realize that. He didn't do everything as the Son of God. He did many things as Son of Man. And he was, of course, perfect man, of course. But in the book of Acts, he's described as a man attested by God. A man anointed by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that he did everything because of his deity, because that would somehow disqualify us completely. What possible chance would we ever have to do anything like him? He was uniquely the Christ, the Son of God. But he was also wonderfully, uniquely the man anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing there is our hope and our possibility that we are men and women, and we can live by the grace of God in the power of the Holy Spirit day by day. That's amazing. It really is amazing. And yet, in spite of all this that was going on, Jesus knew that his disciples needed to get away and have a break. They needed to rest. They needed to be away from the demand, which he managed, which he wonderfully handled compassionately, perfectly, patiently, never from a place of stress, never from outside of rest. What a wonderful, wonderful Saviour he is. But he knows our frame. He knows how we're made. He knows what our needs are. He knows we're human. And you know, sometimes we have to come aside. And maybe this is a word for someone this morning, I don't know. Maybe you just need to come aside. Maybe you've run dry. One of the songs we sang, He fills my cup when I run dry. It's possible. It's possible to be a place where you become saturated with need. With the needs of men and women. And you need the grace of God. You need the fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. We need to know times when we can come aside and be with Jesus and let Him minister to us. Let Him just speak to us. Maybe periods of fasting, maybe periods of prayer, or periods just where we are alone with Him, when we can find a quiet place to be and let Jesus minister to us again. Let Him pour His Spirit into our hearts, into our lives. Amen. We're invited to come to Him. We're invited to come into Him. We're invited to come aside with Him. Wonderful thing to enter into His rest. I need to know that more and more. Don't you? I really do. Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we?